Hello and welcome to Sustainable Warwickshire, a podcast talking about all things related to climate change and sustainability across the county of Warwickshire.
Hello, I'm Steve Smith, the Director at Warwickshire County Council, and I'm your host of our podcast series, Sustainable Warwickshire. We hope to share some of the things being done to fight climate change and support biodiversity from across the county and give you some ideas on what you can do to play your part. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the importance of having a physical place in our towns to bring people together, to find out about sustainable living and to learn how they can make changes for the better in their local area. These hubs are being set up around the country, raising awareness of the climate emergency and providing a place where individuals and groups can meet, make plans, exchange ideas and hold events. And I'm delighted to say that we have not just one, but two of these climate hubs being set up in Warwickshire, one in Rugby and one in Stratford. And so joining me on the podcast today are two of the people involved in these projects. Welcome to Alex Becker from Transition Town Rugby and Stephen Norrie from Stratford Climate Action. So I'm going to come to you first, Alex, if I may. If you can tell me about Transition Town Rugby and how did you initially get involved with it?
Sure. OK. Well, nice to be here, Steve. So, Transition Town Rugby started in about 2019 in rugby. Transition Towns, for people that are not aware, is something that's been going on for, I think, about 20 years in the UK now. So there are lots of transition towns around the country. And it's not like a centralized thing like maybe Friends of the Earth or something. It's very much just a kind of a framework, if you like. Anyone can start a transition town. And so there was a few people in rugby that said, let's do one here. It all just started with a meeting, as these things do. So I went along and actually initially I didn't really get too involved with Transition Town Rugby because at the time I was actually teaching and I had an awful lot more on my plate, but I was really, really interested in what they're doing because the idea behind transition is you are trying to, you're saying, okay, yes, we recognize that there is a need for change and it's all about how do we then achieve that. But it's the key message, I think, the transition, and there's a really great quote from Rob Hopkins, who was the founder of Transition Towns, and this really sums it all up for me. And he said, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of, if we wait for governments, it will be too late. If we act as individuals, it will be too little. But if we act as communities, then it might just be enough. And that really, for me, that really hit home. That idea that, yeah, absolutely, we know that it's very frustrating watching the progress made by governments working towards climate objectives, all the COPs that seem to come and go. And also, those of us that try and sort of do things in our everyday lives like recycling well and, sort of low meat diets and things like that. Again, sometimes it just feels like, am I really making a difference? But this idea then of actually coming together as a community and trying to take these things on as a community, that's what really appealed to me. I started getting involved a little bit more around sort of 2021, something like that. We had a really great, there was a climate summit which was held by Rugby Borough Council, and we talked a lot about how the community could actually work a bit more with the council and that sort of the idea of trying to empower us a little bit more. I think that was sort of moderately successful, but still, I think we felt that there was, probably more that could be done. So ever since then, really, we've just been sort of trying to do what we can from a community point of view. We're still quite small, it's not really taken off in a massive way. But I think the things that we have achieved so far, given the small size that we are, I think we've done really, really well in rugby.
Thanks, Alex. And I sense a mood in wanting to act at the right scale. You talk about communities, and I know we'll touch on that throughout this podcast. And when you refer to COPs, of course, that's Conference of the Parties, the annual United Nations conferences that they have. And we remember COP26 being in Glasgow, but the more recent one, which, yes, it seems like a lot of discussion in order to get an agreement across all the nations is a really difficult thing. And so, as you say, there can be frustrations about waiting and the compromises that have to be struck at that scale, when really at a community level you can do more action. Absolutely.
Absolutely,
yeah. We'll come back to that. Absolutely. And Stephen, if I can come to you as well, if you can talk to us about how long you've been part of the Stratford Climate Action Group and why did you get involved?
Yeah, so we set up Stratford Climate Action we started it really late 2018. I'd just moved to Stratford, actually, and I'd been thinking about the climate emergency, you know, for years, actually. You know, I remember, you know, back in 20, I was thinking about this recently, back 2011, 2010, I remember being very concerned about it and actually kind of, you know, tried to get involved with a transition group in Leamington, but I was doing a PhD at the time and just didn't have the time, even though I really liked the transition ethos. But the point when you don't have the time to get involved, you kind of, you know, you've got something else to do, you have to duck it a little bit. I found, I remember avoiding Mark Linus's book in the library. He had this book, 6 Degrees, and it was all about, you know, at 1 degree we're going to see this, at 2 degrees we're going to see this, and of course as you get up to towards 6 degrees it gets absolutely terrifying. And yeah, I didn't have the time or the emotional space to process that at the time, but I remember I could just be haunted by the presence of this book on the shelf. So anyway, I've been thinking about it for years, and you know, 2017, 2018, I think a lot of people, this started to come to the fore again. I think some of the wildfires over in America were very fierce that year, and you've got these crazy photographs and videos. And you know, I had a very young daughter at the time, and I was kind of just thinking, well, you know, what does the future hold for her? You know, I was struggling to sleep at night worrying about this kind of thing. So I thought, you know, I've been thinking about society. I'm a sociologist by background. I've been thinking how to drive change in society for years. So I thought I had some sense of, I can do something here. I kind of have some understanding of how society works, so I can do something, and I've got a duty to do something. So moving to Stratford, new town, going to be here for a while, I thought, well, you know, let's get involved. Let's set up a group. There wasn't really a group at the time. There had been a transition group, but it had kind of drifted apart. There was a small Friends of the Earth group, but you know, we wanted to do our own group. So Stratford Climate Action is a purely local group. We can, you know, do what we want, really. We're not beholden to anyone. We don't, you know, if a national campaign says, right, this month it's time to do this campaign, you know, we can do it if we want to, but often we find that doesn't really fit into our timetable, you know, how we interact with our environment, how we interact with local groups, local councils, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, from our perspective, we quite like having our own local group. And yeah, I mean, 2019, we did the climate emergency campaigns, as you know, Steve, that's how we met in that context. We put on an action day at the Methodist Church, where we got, you know, lots of local organizations to come along, and it was kind of a fate, really. You know, people would come along and find out what they could do, what other organizations were doing, and so on. And over the years, we've just tried to do, you know, whatever we can at a local level to accelerate action, to kind of be critical friends of the councils, to say, well, you know, have you thought of this? You could be doing this. This is happening somewhere else. To raise awareness, to tap into the issues that concern people. River pollution is one at the moment that's getting a lot of traction. We've been doing work on that. And also to kind of, you know, get people thinking about some of the big issues, you know, what's going on in our society. Do we have an economy that is fit for rendering our society sustainable? Issues like this, which, you know, people get very polarized about, but, you know, we're all one people, we're all stuck with each other. So why don't we come together, have a sensible chat, and, you know, see if we can figure out some of these issues.
And at the beginning, I talked about a network across the whole country, and we're just talking about two particular areas in Warwickshire for the time being. But Stephen, are you finding that you're working with like-minded people, that it's maybe attracting people that you wouldn't have thought, but actually are getting concerned? You can imagine it's everybody's concern. You know, so trying to understand the purpose of the group, what impact you're trying to have, just generally, really, that would really help our listeners to understand, you know, why the need for such groups when councils exist, when governments exist. What impact can you have?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's partly a social thing. You know, you're partly just, you know, someone's concerned, they want to understand what's going on locally. You know, it's not that easy to understand what's going on with the council. It's not that easy to impact. It's not that easy to feel like you can have a say. It's quite easy to come along to one of our meetings, or it's quite easy to come to our People Planet Pint event that we organise or co-organise, and just, you know, talk to people, share your concerns and so on. But, you know, we need to get better at that. And that's part of the reason for having a climate hub. We need to be there so that people can come to us, because I think it's still too difficult. And like Alex said, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of people interested in climate action, but still it's hard to get involved. Where's my place in this? What can I do? You know, everyone's got skills, everyone's got knowledge, but, you know, it's quite hard to find a place. And it's hard for a small group to organize that, because, you know, to be coherent, you need to have someone organizing it. And one person, two people can only organize so many people. So there's issues of scale and so on. And yeah, we need to strengthen those grassroots bonds.
Absolutely. And Alex, given the transition towns framework, has that helped in bringing the concept of a hub, a climate hub, to Rugby and its surrounds? Has that helped it bring it forward? Is that kind of structure in place?
To be honest, not especially. No, I mean transition does have a very kind of general framework, and it's kind of got a way of doing things, if you like, which is, you know, it's based around sort of, you know, the need to kind of like listen and you know, the way you kind of like approach other people and things like that. But actually, I would say that, you know, we haven't really used any particular structure like that when it comes to doing this particular work. It's been very organic, I would say, you know, appropriately. You know, it's kind of grown sort of its own accord and due to, you know, like, I suppose, a few people with a you know, maybe a clear vision of what it is that we're trying to achieve here. I just want to go back to what Stephen was talking about as well, and the you know, the kind of the purpose of these hubs. Certainly from my point of view, I mentioned that we spoke to, we had this climate summit with Rugby Borough Council. And one of the things that came out of that is there was a bit of a vacuum of leadership, really, when it came to the issue of climate. You know, we recognise that the council are, you know, they're trying to do what the right thing, but of course, you know, councils struggle with budgets and everything, don't they? We know that there are people out there, there was loads of people out there, in fact, who are wanting to do the right thing and are trying to do the right thing, but maybe don't really know where to start. And I suppose my vision was, you know, I'd seen these like climate emergency hubs and things that people had set up elsewhere in the country. And that is the thing. It's kind of the spark. It's the you know, it's kind of like the stick in the sand that you can see. And my idea is, you know, the way I was thinking about it, if you've got this visible sort of location, and actually people can start sharing all the things that they're doing, and it becomes more obvious that everyone else around you is doing, you know, these things, because it can just feel so lonely sometimes doing, you know, like almost putting your life on hold sometimes to try, you know, for example, you know, not flying anywhere, which a lot of people actually are doing these days. You know, to try and save on your carbon footprint. But actually, if it became more obvious that actually a lot of people are doing this, it would start to then, you know, it becomes normalized, basically. And I think that's what I'm hoping to see, is that we kind of have this beacon where we say, actually, these kind of behaviors are normal. And, you know, perhaps it is achievable for everybody, and not just the, you know, kind of the hippies and the, you know, the crazy folk. So that, I guess that's what it based. We're trying to normalise this behaviour.
Yeah, yeah, and there could be a presumption on the kind of people who are involved. And would we see? I don't know whether it's set up yet, but when it is, will people be able to go to it like a shop, a hub? Will they find it on their high street, Alex? What do you think?
Yes, that's what's happening in rugby. We are, I would say, we're very, very close. We've got funding promised, but we haven't received it. We've got a building, we've got a location, which is, for those who live in Rugby, it's the Claremont Centre, which is just outside the town centre. It's on Clifton Road and Bath Street. It's an old, it has been used in the past by Age UK, who are a dementia charity. And they've got this whole section of the building, which is unused. And we've got an agreement in principle to use it. So yeah, that's, and once that's there, that is our location, and people will be able to come and visit and do things and join in. Yeah.
And Stephen, is it the same aspiration in Stratford Town to have a frontage that people can see and drop in, and maybe you can talk to us about kind of things that people could expect?
Yeah, that's absolutely it. So yeah, I mean, you know, the location, we're at 30 Mere Street, so we're in the centre of Stratford. We've taken possession of the building, and we're just, you know, doing some work to get it ready at the moment. So we're hoping to open this month. We've got a few things to do, fire risk assessment, things like that. You've got to be safe. But we're hoping to open on Earth Day this month. Not sure it's going to happen, but, you know, that's the aspiration. But yeah, it's 30 Mere Street. It's quite central. It's a pedestrian street. There's a lot of people going down there. It's got a good shop window. It's got a good window front. We've got some boards up there already. And we think we'd like, you know, hopefully we'll be able to open, you know, at least 3 days a week to start with. We've got a number of people interested in volunteering to keep it open. But, you know, hopefully as people come in and enjoy the atmosphere, then, you know, hopefully that will snowball a bit. And yeah, we're hoping it's a place where you can come in and, you know, these kind of concepts of climate emergency, net zero, you know, climate action, you know, the things you can do, like flying less things. These aren't just things you read about on the internet anymore. They're things that you can put a face to, that you can kind of have a conversation about. Quite early on, we put together this Pledge for the Planet campaign, which is, we put together a booklet, and there's a list of actions that people can take. And we ask people, you know, can you identify some of these actions you could take that would kind of fit with your life? So it's not like we expect everyone to do the same things, but we kind of think, well, everyone can do something. Everyone can maybe do a bit more than they're already doing. And it's things like, you know, installing some insulation or eating less meat, but it's also things like becoming an activist, or, you know, going and pestering your MP, or, you know, whatever. There's lots of things you can do. And there's some of them directly save carbon, and some of them are about the social process. Maybe just talking to people a bit more, things like that. So it's about, you know, having those conversations. And, you know, that campaign, you know, because you don't get to meet people, because you don't get to talk about it, it's quite hard to run. But we've got this campaign, and we'll be doing this in the hub. So asking people to come in, saying, well, you know, these are some of the things you can do. What are the problems you find if you try and do this? You know, do you find this is difficult socially, personally? You know, how do you tackle that? Giving people a bit of confidence to take action, letting people know that, you know, other people are struggling with the same things, or other people have found it really liberating to talk about these things, to start acting instead of just sitting in their kitchen worrying. It's about entraining those kind of the social processes, I think.
Yes. And if I think about it, for some, it's who have got a real energy and passion for what you're trying to do here. It's often, where does one start? You know, where do I go for my initial advice? How can I get involved? Which I think I've heard you both say. And Alex, obviously, once you become up and running, I can imagine some of the things that are more of a domestic situation. You've mentioned waste, but also people might be thinking about how can they invest in their home so they can reduce their energy. How can they engage in alternatives? And, you know, it on one hand, it feels that the market has got a lot going on in it. Lots of people selling solar panels everywhere. Lots of people thinking about batteries and thinking about how they might change from their standard diesel or petrol vehicle once the ban on new sales comes in. Well, is those the kind of things that you might see, Alex, as you get your hub up and running?
Yeah, absolutely. That's certainly something that we definitely love to offer. Again, you know, like Stephen says, these are all, we're trying to develop all of these things at the moment. One of the things that we've talked about is the potential for, and if there are any kind of renewables businesses out there who are listening, you know, we'd love to be able to maybe set up like a demonstrator or something like that, you know, or, you know, even act as a potential sales point or something like that, you know, because we're absolutely all about business as well. You know, this isn't just a green thing. It's also about, you know, this is a real thing, right? People are interested. People want to spend money on it. People want to make money on it. So, yeah, you know, we would invite in, like renewables installers, because, of course, one of the hardest things is for anyone who's ever actually tried to get their house insulated or tried to get solar panels installed. It's actually quite difficult finding someone, and also finding someone that you can trust as well. So, you know, we'd love to do something like that, like set up a trusted network of installers. There's also, you know, on the other side of that, there's plenty of people in rugby who've already done this. And can we get them to kind of share their journey as well? And you know, discuss the benefits that they've had. There are some very clever people out there who've thought really hard about this. So, you know, let's get their experience and share that as well. So absolutely, it's got to be, because, yeah, so many people have got questions about, you know, they know that there's an energy crisis, but also how do you spend your money wisely while still future-proofing your own home, basically. So, yeah, we want to answer those questions for people in rugby. Absolutely.
Yes. And you mentioned something there, Alex, that I'll ask you, Stephen, about a sort of trusted network, or at least a trusted location, that it's not necessarily trying to sell something, but certainly trying to sell the idea that this can be made much more simple, and this is how you might access the things that you're interested in. Is that fair to say that you're trying to build a sort of level of trust so that, you know, it builds the knowledge amongst people in your locality?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got people, you know, in our network who've installed solar panels, or, you know, have got an electric vehicle, or have installed a heat pump, or have, you know, done some insulation work on their house and so on. And, you know, some of these things, yeah, as Alex said, you look into it on the internet, you're not quite sure who you can trust, you're not quite sure, you know, I think it's quite hard to necessarily be able to tell, you know, is this information I'm getting interested? Is this information, is this company a bunch of cowboys, whatever? So, you know, people in our network who've got that heat pump installed, who installed it for them, what was their experience, do they like it, you know, are any of the things that people say against them true, you know, did they need to change their radiators, does it make a horrible noise, la la la. I mean, I think the guy that I know would say no, it doesn't make a really horrible noise. But, you know, you get you know, a lot of myths, really, frankly, about you know, for instance, electric vehicles. Electric vehicles are just coming to that point, as you were suggesting, where they're taking off in the markets. And that's partly because of, you know, technological improvements. And, you know, it's partly because, you know, there's enough of them out there now that, you know, that there's these economies of scale, and, you know, the market's taking off. So they're beginning to be affordable. They're beginning to be a real alternative to the internal combustion engine. And then, you see, you know, all these myths coming out about them left, right and centre. And, you know, it's coming from the fossil fuel companies, isn't it, ultimately, a lot of it. So we'll be doing Mythbusters around some of these technologies as well. We'll have that in the shop. And we'll be having sustainability advice for other businesses in the town centre, perhaps, you know, once we're there. You know, we'll be trying to do some things to the building. It's not a very sustainable building. The landlord has just managed to get it to creep into having an EPC D rating, but there's, you know, he had to do that in order to let it. But it's not a very energy efficient building. So there's a few things we can do at quite low cost, which we'll be looking to do, and then maybe show people, well, you know, you could do this too in your building, your town centre business or whatever. We can talk to sustainability advisors. There's quite a few sustainability advisors in Warwickshire, in the area that, you know, we're in that are our networks. So, you know, we can get advice from them. We can hook up, you know, local businesses with them if they're interested, and let people know what they can offer as well. So, yeah, it's about those connections and about that information.
Yes. And you've just sort of alighted on an issue there, given the breadth and the diversity, whether that is a small business in a building that isn't energy efficient, or people who have got quite modest, you know, household incomes. We've got to think about, you know, that this isn't just, you know, for a few people who can afford it. We've got to think about the affordability. And, you know, councils are obviously going to be thinking about that, the cost of living impact that we've been through, etc., the cost of fuel. So, Stephen, how do you think that will play into the role of the hubs in being able to give people affordable and practical solutions, and people want to be more responsible in this area, but we don't want to do it either as a penalty for folk, or they're going to have to go without. You know, that's very important, isn't it, that we give things that are doable to all pockets, if you like. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely things we can do in terms of, you know, letting people know some of the things they can do in their house for quite low cost. I mean, the Charity Act on Energy, which I'm sure you're both aware of, that are active all over Warwickshire and some other local counties, but they offer advice on what you can do on a budget in terms of, you know, blocking up the gaps in your windows and, you know, draft proofing and so on, and they're quite, as well as, you know, the funding that's available for people on lower incomes, so they're quite keen on using the hub and coming in to use it as a space to provide regular advice. Like we were saying earlier, they also have identified that need for a space that people can go and talk to them rather than just being on the telephone. So there's that. I mean, I know someone who's quite keen on teaching people how to fix a leaky tap. You know, it's a skill that maybe people don't have. And we'll be looking to work with other organizations, like maybe the Time Bank, who it's a kind of organization where people can, offer their time for free and earn hours, and then they can get someone else to come and volunteer for them. So it's a kind of, you know, work sharing, help sharing charity that is active in Stratford. It came out of the transition group, I think, earlier. But so there's definitely ways we can connect with that. And we run a community kitchen as well as the climate hub up in, you know, one of the poorer areas of Stratford, one of the more deprived areas of Stratford. That is actually quite a mixed area in terms of, you know, incomes and life, you know and who lives there. But so maybe there's connections we can make there with you know, some of the poorer communities in Stratford, you know, provide information in those venues like the community kitchen and get people interested in the climate hub, get them to come down and learn a bit about, you know, what you can do on a budget and so on.
No, I absolutely agree, and we shouldn't forget those different things that are set up. You mentioned the community kitchens, repair cafes are quite an established network around the country now, aren't they? And we can all see the benefits on all sorts of media, on TV and elsewhere, the benefits of upcycling and recycling and reusing and repairing and reducing our consumption. So absolutely, I would endorse what you said, Stephen, there about how you connect with other arrangements that are already there, other organisations that are there. If I come to you, Alex, on a similar vein, really, I'm aware of what Transition Town Rugby talk about in terms of building community wealth. Could you expand on that for us?
Yeah. So, I mean, and I guess this comes from the idea of transition and transition towns, you know, although a lot of it focuses on climate issues, you know, that's by no means the only thing that you can focus on when it comes to ways that you can improve and change your town. So one of the other big things that transitions focus on is we talk about community wealth building, but really it's an old concept, and that is just to keep it local, really. You know, one of the big new changes of our time is, of course, that now we have online shopping. One of the things about that is that although it's very easy to go and spend, you know, very conveniently buy all the things that you need, of course, all your money is ultimately going off to a big business, and it could be somewhere, you know, well, it could be anywhere in the world, couldn't it? But almost certainly it's not going to be in your hometown. But of course, by doing that, you're actually taking money away from your town. So one of the things that we'd like to do, and, you know, as part of the Eco Hub, is also have that kind of focus on local businesses as well, really. So we've already got one local business, which is they actually had to close their shop in Rugby. It's Rugby Unwrapped. They're our local zero waste shop. Really sad that they, you know, their business kind of it wasn't quite working in their location. But so we've sort of we've got a slightly different business model for them now. They will be operating out of our Eco Hub. So that's one example of keeping business local. What we want is to maybe have a few businesses all running out of the same hub as well. So, I mean, you know, we would probably be looking for those businesses to have some kind of you know, like eco focus, you know, whether that's plastic free or whether it's, you know, like somehow reusing or recycling things, or whatever that might be. But, you know, the idea behind community wealth building really is just saying, let's keep our money in the community. Sometimes that might mean that, you know, maybe it's not quite as cheap as it might be buying something from eBay, you know, that comes from China or something like that. But ultimately, you know, we can demonstrate that actually in the long run, it's going to have a positive effect for the community. And that's what it's all about. It's about trying to improve the community.
Absolutely. We're nearing the end of our podcast, and I just wanted to give you both an opportunity. I'll come to you first, Stephen. We've mentioned where you are, you both your locations and where the streets are. And obviously you want to encourage people to come and visit once you're up and running. I appreciate you're both working to that opening day to come soon. So and obviously you're reliant on like-minded people volunteering. So Stephen, here's the opportunity to plug really, and you know, really make that appeal to folk that to come and visit and make the best use of what you've got to offer.
Yeah, thanks. So we're Net Zero Stratford, so you can check out our website, you can follow us on social media, we're on Facebook and Instagram. You can, you know, send us an email if you're interested in getting involved or learning more. We're looking for volunteers for sure. You know, we're looking for donations on a few things, especially some potted plants. If anyone's got some potted plants around Stratford that are quite nice that you want to donate, computer monitors. But yeah, I mean, we will be getting people in. We'll be working through what people can do. We'll be looking at actions. We'll be looking for some research. We want people to be getting involved in research in terms of what works, what doesn't work, what we should have on display. What are the myths? What is true? What can we, you know, how can we provide reliable information to the public? And we'll be having events there. You know, we have a kids corner, so hopefully there'll be a kind of communal feel to it. We'll be hoping to work with councils in terms of publicising what councils are doing and functioning maybe as a bit of a kind of permanent consultation space, so people can come and see, oh, well, you know, that's how the council's planning to fix the transport system. That's where they're going to be sticking cycle paths, hopefully, and so on. So, you know, people can come in, say what they think about that, and maybe, you know, feel a bit more engaged with their community, feel like they can have a say, feel like, you know, it's not just about me as an individual. I have to do everything in my, you know, house off my own, you know, my own money. It's like, you know, how can I belong to my community? How can I get this, you know, have more of a say in terms of what's going on in this town? And how can I connect with my fellow citizens, my fellow, you know, residents of Stratford-upon-Avon to talk about some of these big issues that are confronting us in a friendly and kind of, you know, constructive way. So yeah, you know, come along, see us, bring your skills. There's lots of things to do. Get involved. We'd love to see you.
That's brilliant, Stephen, and lots of ways in. Thank you. And Alex, similar for you, once you become up and running, I know that that's a work in progress, but hopefully not too far away. So you want to obviously encourage people to come and visit too. Have they got different ways to engage?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much just ditto to everything that Stephen just said. Really, we really are pretty much almost running exactly in parallel with you. Yes, so in terms of Rugby Eco Hub, we have the website is rugbyecohub.org, kind of under construction at the moment. You can also follow our progress on transitiontownrugby.org as well, where we've got a page. We have Facebook, like every good charity organisation does. I would, you know, if you're interested, if you're in rugby and you're interested, do follow us. Get in touch with us, drop us an email. You know, we're looking for individuals, people who would, you know, either you're just interested or absolutely we do need volunteers. This whole thing won't work without volunteers. If you're a community group, come and talk to us about ways that we can work together. You know, we've got this space, let's use it. Let's start creating that network. We've already got a nice small network in rugby, but let's start expanding that. And as I said earlier as well, if you're a business, you know, we want to support local businesses, local crafters, you know, small businesses really, that maybe need a bit of support. And the idea is that network, we can support each other. Yeah, and you know, it's, and I suppose the message is also just, you know, we know that there are a lot of people out there who are highly engaged, and we're really now we're trying to get those people that are maybe not quite sure about what it is that they can do, but yeah, now that we've got this space, we're just inviting everyone just to come in and have a look. If you're worried about climate change, you know, come and talk to us. Climate anxiety is a massive thing. Tell us what's worrying you. You know, we're not going to solve those problems straight away, but sometimes just talking about it can help. Yeah, so we want to exist for all of those reasons, and we just want people to come in and visit us and talk to us.
Absolutely. And you both put that so well, actually, that that I would ask, you know, what's the one thing you would give? But I think the one thing that you have given is come and engage with us, and you've given multiple ways that that could be done. So I think you've answered that question already. So I really thank you for those. The one thing I can add is to our listeners is to visit our website, www.sustainablewarwickshire.co.uk, where you'll find more information about climate action taking place across Warwickshire. So Alex, Stephen, thank you for both for joining me today. And the one thing that I would take away, which is really, it's not unique, but it's quite different here, is this gives another reason for our residents to come to their town centres, and town centres need supporting. And that's in a way that that's what you're doing here with having these physical hubs to create a level of vibrancy in our towns for the right reasons as well. To shop local and to help people local and to support communities. So it helps in that way as well. Absolutely. And that's what's been great about our conversation. So that's the end of this episode of our Sustainable Warwickshire podcast. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed the conversation and would like to hear more of the same, please do subscribe, and we'll be back next month with more.